We come to the last one of the night.
Oh.
Dune.
Dune. This Dune.
This is 1984's David Lynch's Dune.
Dune.
A place beyond your dreams. A movie beyond your imagination.
I'm a huge fucking Dune fan. I've read the books now. I just finished reading the first three books for my third time through.
Cool.
The world building and stuff in Dune is just, it's the perfect pitch of sci-fi for me because it's not all super futuristic. There's a lot of this, franchise that's very based in a more realistic kind of technology level. I don't know, dude. I don't know what to say.
Well, this is what I said. This is the film that's, I didn't want to say the time, but Paul has been waiting a lifetime for. And literally, if you look at it, it almost has been a lifetime. So the original release date of Dune was December 14th, 1984. The remake release date is December 18th, 2020. Total elapsed time, if it goes on schedule, is 36 years, 4 days.
It's basically my life.
Your lifetime.
Yeah.
Okay, so I put, how badly do people want to see it? And I gave this one 11 out of 10. Dune is a seminal work of science fiction, a beloved classic to this day. While many fans enjoy Lynch's 1984 adaptation of the film, the movie does have plenty of detractors, such as the one featured here. Such as the
detracting piece of shit. Boo!
TJ just doesn't get it, dude.
Boo!
You just don't get it, TJ.
Yeah, I just don't get it. So this is a picture here of Jodorowsky's Dune.
The Dune that should have been.
So we watched, you and I, Paul, we watched a documentary. It was that you had watched it first, but you turned me on to it as well, about this Jodorowsky's Dune by the crazy, I think he's a Spanish filmmaker.
Yeah, Alejandro Jodorowsky.
Yeah, and he did some stuff like The Holy Mountain and Santa Sangre and all these crazy movies that are really well made. And, you know, he's like an art house director.
Yeah.
But he had he had like a crazy brilliant plan to adapt Dune, and that was back in 71, I think. It said, well, let me look at Sky's research here. In summer 1971, film producer Arthur P. Jacobs optioned the film rights to Dune, but died in summer of 1973, while plans for the film, including David Lean, already attached to direct, were still in development. So I guess that in 1974 reverted to, the rights reverted to a dude named Jean-Paul Gibbon, with Alejandro Jodorowsky attached to direct. And you watch the documentary Jodorowsky's Dune, and it's just like, it's basically, it sounds like the best movie that was never made. It would have been Star Wars before Star Wars.
Well, yeah, he was pioneering a lot of the things that would go on to be used in Star Wars.
Totally.
He was the right on the bleeding edge of, you know, that kind of practical effects space style.
The opening, the opening of Dune, it was a crazy pan shot that just takes you through the entire cosmos, and he had it all mapped out how he was going to do the special effect. It would have been it would have been basically the greatest special effect that had ever been created. If this movie had actually happened.
So you talk about that the fact they wanted Pink Floyd.
Oh my God, the casting was great. Everything was.
Yeah,
great.
Talk about that Salvador Dali as the Emperor.
Yeah, Salvador Dali was gonna play the Emperor. Fucking Orson Welles was gonna play the fucking Baron Harkonnen,
yes.
Which would have been perfect casting.
You couldn't cast it better.
Mick Jagger as Fade.
Yep. Another great casting.
David Carradine as Leto Atreides.
Great.
I like it.
The project ultimately was scrapped for several reasons, largely because funding dried up and the project ballooned to a 10 to 14 hour epic.
Whatever. It would have been awesome.
If you want, we can take a look at the trailer for Jodorowsky's Dune.
I recommend this movie to anybody.
Official selection at many tremenda.
I wanted to make something sacred. Una película que diera las alucinaciones de LSD. Si tomara LSD to change the young mind of all the world. Michel Sidoux say to me, I want to make a new picture with you. What do you want to do? I say, Dune. And he say, yes.
C'était le plus beau livre de science-fiction. Si vous plaît, la Bible de la science-fiction. Succès d'édition mondiale.
I didn't read Dune, but I have a friend who said it was fantastic.
You gotta love that. The dude that invested all this time and energy and money into this, like, never read it.
I didn't read it, but, you know, friend read it. He said it was good.
I mean, look at some of the fucking just drawings they had made.
3,000 drawings. I shoot the picture.
Well, he basically discovered H.R. Giger.
Yes.
H.R. Giger, who went on to provide the whole visual aesthetic for the Alien films.
Yeah, true, because that had not been made at this point.
He was first kind of discovered and employed on the promotional shots from this movie. And if I see a Giger, I'll call him.
Movement of the camera. Dialogue.
Designing the spaceships, the clothes, the whole look of his world.
The castle. Open the mouth. The spaceship.
Yeah, there it is. Go. Yep. That's
right there.
So he had this kind of revolutionary idea to, and it even extended to the soundtrack. He wanted to have different bands play different types of music for each house to represent each major house that's in this movie. He also wanted different visual designers completely to take ownership of each one of the major houses in Dune, so that each one had a completely different aesthetic to it.
And a completely different sound.
Right.
Like, really drive home
the differences.
The different, you know, worlds and different feels and vibes of each house in the that is competing here for the this, you know, resource
and,
of the spice.
I mean, that could have fucking worked out so well because of just like you said, when you have different minds, different perceptions, different visions, that's something that's going to just naturally occur anyways.
I mean,
it's a brilliant idea.
One of the points that's made in this documentary is that if this movie had happened, it would have totally changed the DNA of what we now consider the Hollywood blockbuster, or it had the potential to.
Right.
Like, you know,
I mean, nobody can say if it, you know,
Star Wars obviously wrote that, you know, Star Wars became the template for what the blockbuster is and probably still is to this day, at least to some extent. You know, if this movie had been the thing that caught fire and was embraced in that popular sort of sense, like, you might see a very, you might have a very different cinematic landscape today. I think you almost certainly would.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no denying that at all. I mean,
well, you know,
it had a profound impact not being made.
It could have fucking been, it could have been the case that they made it and it was no good or whatever, but, you know, or it didn't do well. But I mean, just like knowing what I know about it, it's almost impossible for me to believe that.
I mean, this film is commonly called the greatest film never made.
Right.
I mean, for Tongue.
His vision was so huge, so beyond what anybody else was doing at that time. Things that George Lucas wasn't even going to try with Star Wars. It's enormous.
Another Giger painting.
Part of Holler's genius was finding the right people.
David Carradine, Mick Jagger, Dalí as the Mad Emperor of the Galaxy.
Dalí said, can I have a burning giraffe? All right, we'll have burning giraffe.
All right, we have burning giraffe. Orson Welles there.
Orson Welles. Yeah, I say, I don't want to do it. I say, if you do the picture, I will hire the chef of the restaurant and you will eat us here every day. And I say, I do it. Giger nunca había hecho.
So he knew exactly how to get fucking Orson Welles to sign. I was like, I don't want to do that. We'll get the chef of your favorite restaurant to just, like, live on the set and make you food. He's like, yeah. All right, I'll do it. No problem.
I say to you,
speaking my language.
Alejandro completely motivated you. It was wonderful.
We will change the world.
People did not do this film because they were afraid of his imagination.
This is a movie that has its fingerprints all over so many other movies. Blade Runner, William Gibson, Matrix.
Giger, he make the monster of Alien. And Hollywood start to use my group.
It always leads back to Jodorowsky.
Could be fantastic, no?
Could have been.
Dude, fucking...
But it never was.
Still living that dream, man. Gotta give it to him. So in late 1976, Italian producer Dino De Laurentiis purchased the rights from Gibbons' consortium. De Laurentiis commissioned Herbert to write a new screenplay in 1978. So he actually gets the author of the fucking... Dune to actually write the script. So the script Herbert turned in was about 175 pages long. And that's basically the equivalent of nearly 3 hours of screen time.
Right.
De Laurentiis then hired director Ridley Scott in 1979, Rudy Wolzer writing the screenplay, and H.R. Giger retained from the Jodorowsky production. So like I said, they were so impressed with him, they're like, hey, let's just fucking hire him on.
Right.
Scott intended to split the book into two movies, which is actually being done currently. He worked on three drafts of the script, using the Battle of Algiers as a point of reference, before moving on directing another science fiction film, Blade Runner, in 1982. As he recalls, the pre-production process was slow, and finishing the project would have been even more time-intensive. And we have a quote from here, but if you actually just watch this clip, TJ, it basically explains it.
Okay, so this is Ridley Scott talking about Dune.
And maybe skip like 10 seconds in.
We tried to get Ridley from the outset, but he was at that point planning to do Dune.
Okay, that's fine.
As I was mixing Alien, Michael Dealy had come to see me at EMI, and I'd known Dealy from his days with EMI. And he said, I got this script, you know, called Blade Runner, and I said, I don't really want to do another science fiction, I just finished one. So, but I'll read it. I read the script, which is Hampton Fancher. It was called Dangerous Days. And I turned it down.
Ridley Scott was going to be the original director on Dune, and Dino De Laurentiis hired him, and their sets were being built. They were going to shoot it, and it was going to be based on the novel, and it was going to be this large-scale science fiction film.
I was attracted to Dune because it was beyond what I'd done on Alien, which was kind of hardcore, kind of horror film. Dune would be a step very strongly, very, very strongly, in the direction of Star Wars.
At this point, something rather sad happened, which is that Ridley's older brother died rather young, obviously. And Ridley was in some depression. He really had to get to work, wanted to do something. When he's working, he's working.
So basically, he was all set to do it, but the amount of work and his older brother dying of cancer, he's just like, I'm not the one to do this movie. So, you know, yet again, it's just falling by the wayside. So another director, another project falls by the wayside with Dune. So, yeah, again, we get still, it seems like, are we ever going to get a Dune movie? I mean, it's been options 1971. It came out in 1965. At this point, it's almost been 20 years. So we finally get Lynch's screenplay and direction. So in 1981, the 9-year film rights were set to expire. De Laurentiis renegotiated the rights from the author, adding them to the rights of the Dune sequels, written and unwritten. After seeing The Elephant Man, producer Rafael De Laurentiis decided that David Lynch should direct the movie. Around that time, Lynch received several other directing offers, including Return of the Jedi. He agreed to direct Dune and write the screenplay, though he had not read the book, or known the story, or even been interested in science fiction. Lynch worked on the script for 6 months with Eric Bergen and Christopher Davor. The team yielded 2 drafts of the script before they split over creative differences. Lynch subsequently worked on 5 more drafts. So already you can see from that, David Lynch is probably not the ideal person to direct Dune.
This just has this movie just has a fucking fraught history.
It really does.
I think there's a reason for it, honestly.
You think the story is just so complicated and expansive that it's just really hard to do?
It's not necessarily complicated, because I don't want to represent it as overcomplicated, but expansive definitely covers it. I mean, it is literally a book that if you go into the trilogy, it's about everything on the linear time scale. I mean, it's not just this small kind of sci-fi story that takes place on one planet. It's literally expands the boundaries of reality and how that interplays with this far distant time. It's insane how much detail and world building and story building went into creating this universe, and translating that into movie form is no fucking small feat.
Not at all.
If you're trying to capture what made the book great, which is exactly what I just mentioned.
Right.
So, you know, that's a tall order.
Oh, there's no denying that. So Virginia Madison, who played Princess Erlon in the movie, kind of a minor role, said in 2016 that she was signed for 3 films, as the producers thought they were going to make Star Wars for grown-ups. And that's a common refrain you hear about Dune. This is going to be Star Wars, but for grown-ups.
It really.
I've even heard them say that about the new one.
One of the things I like about Lynch's Dune is that I know it came out under the umbrella of Star Wars, but I feel like for a big, expansive sci-fi movie that came out post Star Wars, it really wasn't trying very hard to rip off the aesthetic of Star Wars. It has its own look and its own feel that doesn't feel like a total fucking ripoff.
So on March 30th, 1983, with a 135-page sixth draft of the script, Dune finally began.
Sixth draft.
So 6 drafts.
Sixth draft of the one starting with Lynch, though.
Yeah, with Lynch.
Not overall, because obviously there were way more scripts
Ridley
before
Scott
that. I mean, there's
scripts.
Tons.
Right. Well,
many attempts to make.
Well, Frank
this.
Herbert wrote the script for the Ridley Scott one that never went anywhere. Then they had other ones. So I mean, yeah, this is basically. You know, of course, Jodorowsky's. I mean,
he wrote some scripts. He probably wrote more than one. I'm
sure. Yeah, there's many drafts of this movie. There's many conceptions of this movie. So that's something I learned. It was shot entirely in Mexico with a budget of over $40 million. Dune required 80 sets built on 16 sound stages and a total crew of 1,700. I mean, so when Paul's talking about the scale, like, just think about that. This is back in 1983. The studio is basically putting up $40 million. They have 1,700 people, and they have fucking 16 sound stages.
I mean,
it's just crazy, the scope of this movie.
It's another thing that's great about this movie is, like, the set design and set piece action stuff that they did.
The
costuming. Green screen and the crazy fucking practical effects that they did, the costuming. It all reflects just like somebody spent a lot of money to make this film. And it helps. It helps to kind of establish some of the sweeping nature of the story.
So the rough cut of Dune, without post-production effects, ran over 4 hours, but Lynch's intended cut of the film, as reflected in the seventh and final draft of the script, so by the way, we finally get to the lucky number seven, was almost 3 hours long. So you think, okay, 3 hours, I mean, that could work. Universal and the film's financiers expected a standard two-hour cut of the film. So, of course, the studio's like, no. Mm-mm. 3 hours? That's too fucking long. We need a two-hour fucking movie. Dana De Laurentiis, his daughter Rafaela, and Lynch excised numerous scenes, film news scenes that simplified or concentrated plot elements and added voiceover narrations. So, Paul, what you just talked about is just, like, they basically, a lot of the world-building and stuff they did, that just gets cut out and is simplified. Like, the whole beginning thing in Dune is actually one of those things. Like, when they talk about, they have the whole, the spice melange, and they talk about the, you know, the, all that.
I mean, it opens like the book does. The book opens with this narrative from Princess Irulan. So they ended up just going that route rather than showing some big sweeping intro. I've read a little bit about the stuff that hit the cutting room floor. I would love to see like a full 3.5 hour cut of, you know, this movie, but you know, it's not the greatest movie ever made, but it's definitely not a terrible film that like some people try and make it out to be.
According to this, contrary to rumor, Lynch made no other version besides the theatrical cut. So if people were hoping for some Lynch director's cut, that ain't happening.
Right.
A television version aired in 1988 with two parts totaling 186 minutes, including a What Happened Last Night recap and second credit roll. Lynch disavowed this version and had his name removed from the credits, Alan Smithy being credited instead.
I gotta love that Alan Smithy credit.
This version has been occasionally released on DVD as Dune Extended Edition. Several longer versions have been spliced together. Although Universal has approached Lynch for a director's cut, Lynch has declined every offer and prefers not to discuss Dune in interviews.
So he is kind of personally ashamed
of
this movie.
He's basically disavowed this movie.
He doesn't like it. He doesn't want to fuck with it. He's just like, eh, fuck that. I'm on other things.
It's a shame.
And, you know, another thing is, you know, I remember when we were watching Jodorowsky's Dune, the documentary, obviously, since there's no actual movie. I remember Jodorowsky just talking about, like, how heartbroken he was when this movie was finally happening. And he said he sat down in the theater and was watching it, and he's just like, oh, this is horrible because it's going to be David Lynch, and he's going to make this brilliant version of Dune, and you know, then I'll never have, because he still hadn't let go of the dream of having his own version of Dune.
Yeah, especially at that time.
And so he watches the Lynch version, and he's like, oh, this is ass. Okay, so I don't even have to worry about this because this is terrible. But obviously.
Let's see the critical reception of this film.
So critical response, 53% from critics, a little bit more forgiving from the audience, but still not a tremendous score. Rotten from critics, 47 users, audience score 66%, with about 70,000 users having rated
it. Yeah, because of all these plebs, there's one particular guy I really want to hear from, DJ.
Who's that?
I think you know who it is.
Who is it?
Fuck this.
Who is it? Ah, it's Paul's rival.
Ugh.
Roger Ebert, Paul's buddy.
1 star, Paul. Do you feel that's fair?
No. No, I don't think it's anywhere near fair. I mean, like, I wouldn't give this, like, a 4 star. For, I don't know what his stars went up to. Was it 4 or 5?
I think it was 4.
Yeah, I believe it's 4.
So, yeah, I wouldn't say this is a 4-star movie, but a 1 star? I mean, come on.
It took Dune about 9 minutes to completely strip me of anticipation. This movie is a real mess, an incomprehensible, ugly, unstructured, pointless excursion into the murkier realms of one of the most confusing screenplays of all time. Even the color is no good. Everything is seen through a dusty yellow filter, as if the film left out in the sun too long. Yes, you might say, but the action is, after all, on a desert planet where there isn't a drop of water and there's sand everywhere. David Lean solved the problem in Lawrence of Arabia, where he made the desert look beautiful and mysterious, not shabby and drab.
This is not supposed to be a terrestrial desert, though. Well, whatever. Fuck this guy. Roger Ebert doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
Let's go to the bottom to his conclusion, TJ.
All right.
Nobody looks very happy in this movie.
It's not a happy movie.
Actors stand around in ridiculous costumes, mouthing dialogue that has little or no context. They're not even given scenes that work on a self-contained basis. Portentous lines of profundity are allowed to hang in the air unanswered, with additional characters arrive or leave on unexplained errands. Dune looks like a project that was seriously out of control from the start. Sets were constructed, actors were hired, no usable screenplay was ever written, everybody faked it as long as they could, some shabby special effects were thrown into the pot, and producers crossed their fingers and hoped that everyone who had read the books will want to see the movie. Not if word gets out, they won't.
Wow. I think it's overly harsh. I think the movie looks really cool during a lot of its runtime.
Well, hey, I mean, did we at least get a successful film out of Dune? I mean, look, there's a lot of problems with it.
Nope.
Nope, not at all.
No, we didn't.
Domestic opening, $6 million.
Just kind of flopped.
International, didn't seem like it received one.
What was the budget?
The $40 million.
$40 million. Yeah, it's a...
$30 million worldwide. So
I mean,
they
lost
flushed
money.
$10 million down the toilet with this one.
Probably a little more.
A lot more. They extensively promoted this film.
Not to mention, I mean, like, does that $40 million budget really count the years and years and decades that this script was in fucking development? I'm sure it doesn't.
Probably not.
How many people how much sweat and blood and tears went into trying to make this movie and unfortunately just not able to get a successful film at the end of it?
So
no light at the end of the tunnel. But maybe there's light at the end of the new tunnel.
Before we get to
we got to talk about this.
We got to talk about this.
I forgot about this
one. Now, before we continue, let's get some out of the way. Well, we're aware that this exists, and if you're listening, it's unfortunately Sci-Fi Channel's stab at making Dune.
It is. I think it's one of the reasons why the Lynch Dune holds up so well for me, because this was the most disappointing piece of shit I ever
saw.
That's
why I wrote about it. This version is total garbage. Not only in its scope, but its execution. Additionally, here's part of my argument as well, not to include this and say this is actually a film version. It's classified on IMDb as a TV miniseries. Arguably, you could say it's a Dune film, but I wish it would just be devoured by a fucking sandworm. This is garbage. This is horrible.
Remember, I sat through all of this.
I did as well. We watched
it. I don't know why, but I sat down and I watched this from start to fucking finish, and I think it's like 6 hours long or some shit.
It is incomprehensibly long.
It's so long, and it's so boring, and it's so bad, and it's like they do actually get to most of the plot points of Dune.
That's
but
true.
It's done so lovelessly and artlessly, and
it feels rote. It feels like there's no, like I said, there's no scope. There's no
it's
real.
Like, then they go here and do this. Then they go here and
it's
do
like
this.
They
then
tried,
they go here and do this.
It's like they tried to cure the fact that, look, we have this vision. You know, we see Jodorowsky's doing it's 10 to 14 hours. There's some crazy vision. And we see David Lynch's too condensed down. So we're going to kind of make this where it's a series where we're going to get like three parts of this. And it's going to be like 2 hours a piece. And it's going to be great. And it's going to cover all the shit that was left out in these other ones. And like you said, it's just a loveless treatment of the material.
It's pretty horribly cast.
Yeah.
Like, none of the primary characters are all that great. The visual design element of it is just so fucking...
It's ass.
It's bargain basement and shitty. I mean, it just, like, has no fucking... No scope or no vision at all.
Let's look at the fucking cover here. This doesn't make me feel like this is Dune. This just makes me feel like this is the fucking ripoff of Dune that you find in, like, you know, where it's called, like, sand or something. This is not Dune. This does not have the scope or scale of Dune. And I just feel like if anyone tries to make that argument, this is garbage and should be just disqualified from consideration.
Oh, yeah. Paramount's in the game, though.
The crazy thing is that, yet again, the version of Dune we're getting has been a long time coming. So in 2008, Paramount Pictures announced they had a new feature film adaptation of Frank Herbert's Dune in development with Peter Berg. I think I pulled a picture of him, TJ. Or maybe I didn't.
I don't see
it. I didn't. Okay, whatever. Doesn't matter.
Is that Peter Berg?
Nope. That's Denis Villeneuve.
That's the new guy. So we don't have a Peter Berg.
Oh,
but
whatever.
Peter Berg, he did The Rundown and Friday Night Lights. So thank God that didn't happen.
So he was set to direct. Berg left the project in October 2009 with director Pierre Morel. Brought on to direct in January 2010 before Paramount dropped the project in March 2011.
So basically they made some kind of furtive attempt to adapt it again with Peter Berg. Terrible choice.
Yeah, I don't get that choice.
I don't know about this Pierre Morel guy.
So yet again,
dude,
Dune fans get cock cheese like, Paramount.
We're going to make Dune.
We're doing it. We're doing it.
Nah,
oh, God, we're
going
to do it right.
We ain't doing it.
No, never mind.
So then Legendary enters the game.
So Legendary stepped in.
They
so
get the rights.
On November 21st, 2016, it was announced that Legendary Pictures had acquired the film and TV rights for Dune. In December 2016, Variety reported that director, now you can pull him up, Denis
Villeneuve.
I don't know how you say this last name.
Villeneuve.
Villeneuve.
Oh, just Villeneuve? Okay.
Yep.
Villeneuve.
Was in talks with the studio to direct the film. In September 2016, Villeneuve expressed his interest in the project, saying that, quote, "A long-standing dream of mine is to adapt Dune, but it's a long process to get the rights, and I don't think I will succeed."
Well, luckily you did.
So he was kind of like, waxing poetic on it, like, I really want to make this, but how am I going to get the fucking rights? So this is Brian Herbert. So on February 1st, 2017, Brian Herbert, the son of Frank, confirmed that Villeneuve would be directing the project. In March 2018, Villeneuve stated that his goal was to adapt the novel into a two-part film series. Eric Roth was hired to co-write the screenplay in April with John, I don't know how you fucking say his name, Spatz?
Spatz.
Yeah, what a weird
Spates,
fucking last name.
I don't know.
who was the writer on films such as Prometheus and Doctor Strange, was later confirmed to be co-writing the script along with Roth and Villeneuve. So, Paul, if this is going to give you heart, Eric Roth has been nominated 5 times for the Academy Award for Best Adapted Screenplay. He wrote Forrest Gump, or was a writer on Forrest Gump, The Insider, Munich, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, and A Star Is Born, which that's not as great for me. Winning for Forrest Gump. He also wrote the screenplay for the Oscar-nominated film Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
So, I mean, he's a good screenwriter.
So he's a good screenwriter. I mean, Villeneuve has proved himself a pretty competent director. So Villeneuve said in May 2018, the first draft of the script had been finished. Then he says, most of the main ideas of Star Wars are coming from Dune, so it's going to be a challenge to tackle this. The ambition is to do a Star Wars movie I've never saw. In a way, it's Star Wars for adults. That's something that Hollywood's definitely trying to sell.
Like, they really like to push that Star Wars for adults.
Yeah, that's
thing.
Something I've
really
heard.
Hard.
I heard doing research for the Dune part
Star
of
Star Wars for adults.
It's Star Wars.
Star Wars for adults. God damn it!
So, further news: in July 2018, Brian Herbert confirmed the latest draft of the screenplay covered approximately half of the novel Dune. Legendary CEO Joshua Grode confirmed April 2019 that the plan to make a sequel, adding that there's a logical place to stop the first movie before the book is over. We'll have to see.
I guess we will.
So here is some of the casting we have here.
I will tell you this. If this ends up being a big hit, Jason Momoa has a career ahead of him.
Jason Momoa has a career already, man.
Well, I just mean like...
He's, oh, like he takes him to the next level.
Because Duncan Idaho is a central figure in the later books.
Oh,
so
for sure.
If he, you know... If
oh,
he
I see what you're saying.
He's kind of what ties the whole universe together. He's this guy that just gets endlessly cloned. And so he's always, like, thousands of years go by, but he's the only kind of person that stays the same.
Well, something I like about this is that the filming began March 18th, 2019, at Origo Film Studios in Budapest, Hungary. And obviously the desert scenes took place in Jordan. So they filmed a lot of the desert in Jordan. Filming was completed in July 2019. So this movie has been shot. Now we're going to take a look at the cast, which we already have for a second.
Why do we have so little of it if it's already been, like, I guess there's a lot of post-production work going on.
Some of it's probably they want people to kind of, like, who's going to play that role.
I
want
to know who they're going to get to play Fade and Ollie.
I looked for that. I could not find anything about that. So maybe I didn't look the right spot.
Well, it looks like they don't know in this image they've created here either.
No, I thought an interesting connection between Star Wars and this was Oscar Isaac plays Poe in the new Star Wars trilogy. So they literally have someone from a Star Wars universe coming in to play Duke Leto Atreides. Obviously, we know Duke Leto doesn't last too long, but Josh Brolin, Batista, Stellan Skarsgård. Got a lot of fucking... Jason Momoa. We got a lot of fucking big-name actors. Now, the guy playing Paul, I'm not really too familiar with him.
I'm not either, but like I said, like if this ends up being like a giant movie franchise where they try and cover it all, Paul's, you know, he's dead in the middle of the second book. He's gone. There's no Paul. So the real enduring, there's going to be a new casting for Leto the Second, and Jason Momoa, if he does well in this, will just hold on to one of the juiciest roles in fucking Hollywood.
If this movie is a hit, yo, yeah. I mean, so yeah, like there's their sister Alia, that's not known. Scroll down, TJ, there's some more people. Mm-hmm. So the Fremen.
Javier Bardem.
Ah, he's playing Stilgar. That's a huge role, too, and I think he's a good choice for it.
Definitely a good choice. So this one we have not got yet, so the wait, this could even be a longer wait. So, I mean, Paul, look, 36 years. Is it the time? Have the stars aligned? I mean, you going to finally get the Dune movie? And not only you, that many of the fans of Dune have wanted for so long.
My hopes are pretty fucking high, I got to be honest with you.
And you're a pessimist, so that's saying a lot.
Yeah. I've got high hopes for this one. I like the director. I like a lot of the casting choices. I think Stellan Skarsgård is a great choice for Baron Harkonnen. He's not huge and fat. Maybe they're doing something with that. Maybe they're putting him in a big fat suit or
something.
Looking
into that.
So you guys, I was looking to see if there's any new Dune story. This is a breaking story from today.
Awesome.
First Dune remake footage earns big praise, gets compared to Lord of the Rings.
Awesome.
The first Dune footage has screened. The preview was shown to a small group of industry insiders and has already been hailed as epic. Principal photography wrapped not that long ago, and Denis Villeneuve is currently in the post-production phase to prepare the long-awaited movie for release at the end of the year. As the footage that was shown, it was mixed in with cast interviews and behind-the-scenes shots. It does not seem it was intended for public release, so don't expect to see it anytime soon.
It'll be on the special edition DVD, I'm sure.
blah, 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 blah. So the fact, I mean, like the news basically is someone so somewhere
we'll
has
go
seen
down.
It.
So basically this is this guy, Brian Clement is basically, it says, what, I think it's like a sci-fi author.
According
or
to Brian Clement, Villeneuve has succeeded.
And he has some tweets, I guess we can go take a look at.
He had this to say and added some pretty crazy comparisons. As a follow-up, read my opinion on New Dune based only on the footage I saw, since people are curious. I think this will blow people away the way Lord of the Rings did 20 years ago, the way Star Wars did 40 years ago. It's not Jodorowsky or Lynch, but maybe Villeneuve has filmed the unfilmable.
High praise, for sure.
While the new Dune probably isn't like Star Wars or Lord of the Rings, it seems that Brian Clement is positive the movie will leave a lasting impact on the world of cinema like the aforementioned movies did. Clement went on to describe the footage as a mix of grimy realism mixed with dreamy imagery, which sounds like Blade Runner 2049. Also, the promo footage contained a few shots of Timothy Chalamet as Paul Atreides, including a few in his still suit. A small amount of footage of Stellan Skarsgård as Baron Harkonnen was also seen in the Dune footage, along with a tiny bit of Jason Momoa. Brian Clement went on to tease that the choice of actor for playing Kynes, will be a surprise for audiences. While David Bautista apparently looks creepy in the footage. As to when fans will get to see said footage or the first trailer, Clement has no idea, but knowing that the promo footage exists could mean that the trailer is on the way. I got to imagine a teaser is impending, right?
The next really big movie is going to have a Dune trailer.
I can't wait, man. I'm jazzed for the teaser trailer for this.
I mean, yeah,
I want to see it. Big Bad Fight.